series of messages on growing a servant's attitude toward the kingdom. And we talked about a servant of God needing to have a not needed attitude. We started off with Luke 17, 5 and 6. After the Lord had just asked the apostles to be willing to forgive someone that trespassed seven times against you in a day, to be able to forgive them seven times, which would be 49 times a week, which 52 weeks in a year, 49 times 52, that's a lot of times. And it means to be willing to keep to do that forever, as long as you live. Well, that's impossible. So in Luke 17:5, the Lord said, as was recorded, what the apostles said, and the apostles said unto the Lord, increase our faith. They knew they didn't have faith enough to do it. Then the Lord gave them the illustration. It's an exaggerated hyperbole. Something that Jesus told them that they could do if they had enough faith. But it's an exaggerated hyperbole. Jesus isn't telling them that they can have enough faith to do this. Verse 6, and the Lord said, if ye had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you might say unto this sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey thee. Last Sunday, I went over this in the morning, the night message. I'm not going to reiterate all that again. But Jesus began to teach from that point onward, from their request, increase our faith, for a couple of chapters. And he began to honor their request by showing them how faith is increased. First through 10 lepers, then through a widow that was trying to get an unjust, ungodly judge to avenge her against her adversary. But he doesn't stop teaching there. So in chapter 18, we're going to take a look at verses 28 through 30. We're talking about serving God. We're talking about what's expected of an individual. Most of all, we're talking about the proper attitude for that individual. Luke 18, 28 through 30. Then Peter said, lo, we have left all and followed thee. That was true. They had. Jesus knew it was true. Oh, they had their problems. They were always contending about who would be the greatest. They had all the inherited qualities of the flesh that you and I have. They had the same types of problems that churches today have, assembling together. But Peter said, we have left all and followed thee. And Jesus in verse 29 didn't repudiate what Peter said. And he said unto them, now remember, he's talking to the first New Testament church. He's not talking to the multitudes. He's not talking to someone who got saved and then went off and that was it. He's not talking about someone that's been eternally sealed and saved that never submits to baptism, never makes a commitment. Nor is he talking to those who are saved and scripturally baptized, but who are trying to hold on to mammon and God at the same time and never will make a commitment to his local church. He's not talking to them. He's talking to those who have left house, family, left all, and followed him. And he said unto them in verse 29, verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house, our parents, our brethren, our wife, our children, for the kingdom of God's sake, who shall not receive manifold more in this present life, and the world to come, life everlasting. He's talking about abundant life everlasting. He's talking about the ultimate in life everlasting. He's talking about in the millennial reign having abundant life of ruling and reigning with him. He's not just talking about being there. He's not just talking about receiving a glorified body. He's talking about a promise in the future time when we leave this body. If you really want ecstatic joy, position in a place where Christ uses you in the eternal ages. Then he tells him, Peter, you have left all. But don't worry, he said, you're going to receive manifold more in this present time and the world to come, life everlasting. Well, there are some TV preachers who said, see, you're supposed to receive manifold more in this present time. So send us your bills, all your bills that you owe. At the same time, send us a love offering. And we'll put them all in a gigantic stack here, and we'll all pray over them, lay our hands on them. And because God wants to give you manifold more in this present time. God doesn't want his children to be poor. God wants his children to be rich. God wants his children to prosper. Why, those old Baptist preachers that tell you life's supposed to be hard and all that. Well, God doesn't mean for his children not to be blessed. God wants to give you a new car. God wants to pay off all your debts. All you got to do is have faith. Just believe God will do it. Send us a love offering in here. And when you send that in and we pray over those letters, why, goodness gracious, you're going to get that miracle. Well, he says, who shall not receive manifold more in this present time? And the world to come, life everlasting. He's talking about in the world to come, the abundant life, the abundant entrance into the kingdom of God. He's talking about living in the heavenly city, the New Jerusalem. He's talking about where you live that life everlasting and the quality of it. But what about this present time? What does he mean by that? Well, let's take a look at another synoptic gospel. That's what I am, a synoptic analyst. If you want the complete picture, you've got to take all the different ways it was stated through the writers. Put them all together. Then you can make some reasonable conclusions. So we're going to look at the parallel scripture to Luke 18, 28 through 30, over in Mark chapter 10, verses 28 through 30. Same scenario. Different writer. A little more information. Then Peter began to say unto him, lo, we have left all and followed thee. Verse 29. And Jesus answered and said, verily, or truly, I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house, our brethren, our sisters, our father, our mother, our wife, our children, our lands, for my sake. Okay. He doesn't mean that no one has done that, because in the next verse he's going to tell them what he's going to give them for that. But before we go on to verse 30, I want us to notice something that's very interesting, because it articulates how very precise and accurate the Bible is. He says, there is no man that hath left house. I want you to notice that house is singular. He doesn't say houses. He says that hath left house. It is singular. That's very important. Our brethren. Well, brethren is plural. Our sisters. That's plural. Our father. Well, he's got one father, so father is singular. Our mother. Well, a man only have one mother, so it's singular. Our wife. Well, a man's only supposed to have one wife, so it's singular. Our children. Well, that's plural. Our lands. That's plural. So house is singular, brethren is plural, sisters is plural, father is singular, mother is singular, wife is singular, children are plural, and lands are plural. So, well, what's that got to do with the price of tea in China? Everything. Because Mark is going to tell us what this manifold more we receive in this present time is. I can reiterate and tell you what the future promises are out of the book of Revelation. and I can elaborate and show you some of the marvelous, wonderful things that God has waiting for you in heaven. But what about this present time? How's God going to give us manifold more in this present time? Well, Mark tells us. Let me read verse 29 again. And Jesus answered and said, Verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my sake and the gospel's. House is singular, brethren is plural, sisters is plural, father is singular, mother is singular, wife is singular, children is plural, lands are plural. Let me read verse 29 again. And Jesus answered and said, Verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my sake, and the gospel's. You're probably saying, well, hurry up and read verse 30. Well, here it is. But he shall receive an hundredfold now in this time. What's he going to receive? It says, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions. And in the world to come, eternal life. There's some very subtle accuracy here. First of all, in verse 29, house is singular. But here, house becomes houses. That shows an increase. That's the manifold more. Manifold more means a lot more. He doesn't just have a house that he came from. He has many houses. Why did it change? You say, well, that means that if you'll just send in your offering, a love offering, of course, and tell God you want to own a string of rent houses, put that request here on this pile, let us lay hands on it. If you've got enough faith and you really honestly believe where two or three are gathered together in agreement, as we lay our hands on there. Now, if you really believe and really have faith, well, you'll get that string of rent houses. Well, truth of the matter is, what that's talking about is something that people that have that type of preaching never come to understand. They don't know what the church is. You've got some preachers on television that preach the truth about salvation. They preach the truth about security of the believer. They preach the truth about you need to live for Christ. They preach Christian living. They advocate turning your life over to Christ. They've got all the right moves for the world. The people get saved by their preaching. They get saved by the word of God that they proclaim. And as long as it's the truth, God's Spirit convicts and God's Spirit does the saving. But they don't have houses. They say, well, they got a lot of friends, but they don't have houses. This church right here, your house is my house. My house is your house. In persecutions and trials and troubles that we have to go through, we share with one another. We're getting ready to face a great tribulation period. We're getting ready to face an economic collapse, which I believe will occur between 2001 and 2002. We're facing some terrifying things that are going to come on this earth. So my house is your house. Your house is my house. When I became a member of this body, I became privy to manifold more. A sharing among the brethren of the things that we have. Well, in today's society, that doesn't mean that we have a right to walk in each other's houses and do anything we want at any time, and that we have the land and title deed to it. But it means when pressing needs arise that our houses are to be shared in common. There's no need to do it until it's a necessity. In the Jewish culture, when a man received Christ as Savior, proclaimed his belief that he was the Messiah, that man was disowned by his family and he had nothing. And so it was necessary for them to band together and to share what they had. But he shall receive an hundredfold now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and the world to come eternal life. I want you to notice that in verse 29, mother, no man has left house or wife or children or lands or mother. But all of a sudden down here in verse 30, he says that he shall receive an hundredfold now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers. Mother becomes plural. Every one of you here that are my elders in age are my mothers in the faith. You became my mothers when I united with this body. I am to treat you with the dignity and respect I would treat my own mother. And you are my mothers in the faith. Just as you cared for your children, in verse 30, it doesn't even mention wives, because it would have to pluralize it. And God only means for a woman to have one wife. That's why God is dropped out in verse 30. Wife is dropped because God won't give more than one. And so if he were going to magnify it to manifold more, a hundredfold more now, he'd have to bless you with a couple of wives. And the Bible is articulated in a most exacting fashion. That's what amazes me about it. You may also have noticed something else. In verse 29, it lists father. It says, or sisters, or father. But you'll notice that although mother becomes mothers, father is dropped. It doesn't list father in verse 30. You say, well, why couldn't the older people in this church be your fathers? The Bible says, call no man your father but he that is in heaven. I am the pastor of this church. God is my father. And that's the reason that father is dropped in verse 30. God replaces man, his father. You may not consider that very remarkable, but it is remarkable. Because all of them in verse 30 are plural. And the ones that it would be against God's teaching to make plural because of his rules about who you call your father or how many wives you can have, they're dropped. I think that's quite remarkable. Well, we've been talking about an attitude of a not needed servant. And we've been talking about serving God. And we've been talking about the future promises of God. What God will do for you now, as well as later. There are a lot of people who never come to really understand the joy and satisfaction that comes in being among people that have the same attitude toward God that you have, in a body that is blended together, built together for a habitation of God through the Spirit, where the membership is trying to find God's will for their individual lives and trying to find the will for God for the church collectively. I feel secure among you here. I feel like I'm a part of this body, and you're a part of me, and I'm a part of you. God in me, Christ in you, and all of us in God and in Christ. It's a local visible body. That's the joy. That's the manifold more that I have now. You are my crown. This is the manifold more that I have right now. You are the very fact that I'm part of you. But God gave amazing grace to let me understand what the church is and to be a functioning part of it. That's just as amazing grace as the salvation of my soul. Many people never come to realize that. Saved, maybe even scripturally baptized, but they never come to know the joy of the manifold more that God gives them in a relationship with one another. A lot of people are afraid of it. They're afraid they're loners. They don't want to mingle and mix. That's not the right attitude. I'm a loner by nature. My carnal man is a loner. But my spirit isn't a loner. My spirit needs the love of God manifested to me. Just like I'm an instrument to manifest it to you, you're an instrument to manifest it to me. And we are instruments to manifest the love of God one toward another. In Ephesians 2:22, we are told, in whom ye also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. That's what a local church is. God builds us together like spiritual, lively blocks. Blocks that are in submission to the Lord and just lie still and let the Lord place them where He will. That's what a local church is. What does it mean to have this sharing attitude? The attitude that you love one another. You're willing to share whatever you have because you have the same master. This manifold more that you receive in this life. In Acts 2:41 and 42, we're told the method that God uses to build us together as a body of scripturally baptized believers, correctly observing the faith once delivered to the saints. Then they that gladly received His word, that salvation, were baptized. That submission to God's will for your life, Peter commanded the house of Cornelius to be baptized. And the same day they were added to them about 3,000 souls. That's the way God adds saved souls to the church, through submission and baptism. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. The apostles' teaching and fellowship and breaking of bread and in prayers was certainly a function that each one exercised toward another in church capacity. They weren't people who hid in their own little corner and didn't want to mingle and mix with others. They were people who served God, who shared all things in common. How do I know that? Look on down in verses 45 and 46. And sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men, as every man. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, that's why houses became plural, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. That's the manifold more you get now. I know a lot of people that say, I don't want that. What are you, a religious fanatic? No. I'm a disciple. I'm an unneeded servant. I'm a part of this body. You're a part of me, and I'm a part of you, and we're all a part of Christ. We're all in Christ. here's where it's at. I wouldn't trade this for anything. I'm not interested in being rich. I'm not interested in being famous. Those are both curses to a man. I'm just interested in being a not needed servant, serving my God here with an attitude that I continually need him to get me through this life in a way that pleases him and to get me through the role of pastoring by his leadership and by the power of his spirit and not by my own ingenuity and ideas. A lot of people don't really understand what true spiritual joy is. True spiritual joy is based on what you think. You are what you think. A lot of times we'll take scriptures like, let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus. And we'll come up with some marvelous, spine-tingling explanations of what it means to let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus. Well, Jesus is the one who instructed us what kind of an attitude we should have. And we should have the attitude of a not needed servant. There's a great deal of comfort, a great deal of release of stress, a great deal of release of anxiety and uncertainty when one comes to look upon himself or herself as not needed, but relies totally upon the power and spiritual ability and knowledge and understanding of God as revealed through his word, to be the only light that he can see that he can follow. If he follows his own light, he follows darkness. And there are many people who are saved that are following their own light and following darkness and thinking they are walking in the light. You can only walk in the light if God's word is that light that you're walking in. Well, this is a pretty short message this morning. I just wanted to reiterate on some things that we talked about last week. The peace and tranquility and joy that exists in a church really depends on the attitude of each individual member and the overall attitude of the church. If all of us here understand, accept, believe that we are not needed by God, but that we desperately need God, then the more we'll turn to God as the source of our strength, and we'll turn to him not in the way we think he ought to be, but in the way he reveals himself to us from his word. Sanctify them through thy word. Thy word is truth. Agaiso means sanctify. Means to set apart. When the Lord told Peter he needed to be converted, he said, Peter, I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. When thou art converted, wheresoever thou wouldest, but when thou art old, another shall gird thee and carry thee where thou wouldest not. It would really be nice if the instant we were saved, all of a sudden we had this not needed attitude. But it's something that involves faith, a growing faith. A growing faith is a growing faith in a person. And if that growing faith isn't in Christ, then it isn't of God. A growing faith in your own abilities, following your own ego, satisfying your own whims, and palming it off as being from God, is commonly practiced on television daily. A growing faith is faith in God's ability. If God knows everything, and He does, if God is all-powerful, and He is, if God is omnipresent, if God's wisdom is perfect in every way, it is. If God never makes a wrong decision, He doesn't. Then why can't we have confidence in Him? Why can't we put all of our faith in Him? Why can't we just follow along in His Word, do what He says, and leave all the rest up to Him? Because He knows what He's doing. That's what faith is. It's confidence in the individual. You believe He can do anything. It's like a little boy that says, "My dad can whip your dad. My dad's wonderful. My dad can do anything." He's got tremendous confidence in his dad. Surely we can have at least that much confidence in Christ. Think about this. I'll probably talk a little bit about this tonight. Maybe go back and recap and summarize all the things that I've talked about. Taking a little Alka-Seltzer Plus so I can clear out my sinuses. But think about that. And we'll talk a little bit more about it tonight, Lord willing.